Abba, Father, we thank you for what you've given us thus far and for this deposit of your word, your eternal and living word that's going to go into our hearts. Let us receive it this day. And may we also apply it. May it find application in our practical lives this very day and into the future. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take a seat. The blessing, Joseph, part 18. Continuing to look at the life of Joseph, the narrative of Joseph. The last part of Genesis is taken up with this great man of God. So the blessing. You know that God has called us to be a blessing in our world. He wants to use each and every one of us. And the book of Ephesians says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So we've got the resources. We've got like this arsenal, an inheritance of blessings that we are to give away. We're blessed to be a blessing. And that was the prophecy that God set forth way back with Abraham, the first man of faith, is that you will be a blessing to all the nations. And that's to be our lot, is that we have been blessed to be a blessing. And our Heavenly Father gives us every good and every perfect gift so that we can be life, we can be light, we can be medicinal, if you will, in a world that's filled with spiritual and moral disease. And so today we're going to look at the main way that we're a blessing in the world. Proverbs 12:18. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrust. Or as the New King James says, there's one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. God has created us to be blessings. And in my estimation, the main way that we're blessings to people is in our communication. The tongue has the power of both life and death. And so God saves us and he fills us with the Holy Spirit so that we now can transmit life. And much of that has to do with our speech, with our conversation, how we talk to people. And in our world, it's a world who there's a lot of sword thrust, a lot of harshness, a lot of negative language and lies, gossip and backbiting, and people get wore down. Toxic language wears people down, and there's so many hurting people in this world, and it just gets repeated. Hurting people hurt people. And so much of it has to do with harsh, critical, nasty language. But there's another side to this proverb, in Proverbs 12:18, that the tongue of the wise, the tongue of the enlightened, the tongue that have come to revelation, they become medicinal. They become agents of healing and life. They're like an antidote. There's the words of the wise that brings refreshing and life as God intends. As God has blessed us to be a blessing, by and large, it is connected with our speech. Now, think about it this way. Salvation is a function of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation. And unless one speaks the words, unless there's a messenger to bring the gospel, how can people hear? And so the initial phase of new life, of refreshing life, of coming out of a world where it's rash words that are sword thrust and harshness and you never measure up, is the gospel is preached and then abundant life comes. That is, if one receives the message of the gospel. And so that's definitely a blessing. And then, of course, in the church, in the community of faith, we're to be building up each other with words of life. We're to be a community which is speaking life, speaking truth, and provoking each other. Sometimes it can be positive encouragement. Sometimes it can come across as negative reproof. But either way, it's a blessing if one receives these words of provocation. And then we're, by and large, we should be speaking blessings over each other. There's power in the tongue. And I say God bless you often. Many of you may say God bless you to other people. And you know, I was thinking about how casual we are with that and how it almost is like a religious cliche, just say God bless you. But there's power in the tongue. And every time we use the name of God, you know, we say God bless you. God hears and he blesses and he's able to do great and wonderful things. And I'm much more cognizant of that now, that when I speak a blessing over people, that God is there and it's a prayer and he's active and he wants to bless. He wants to do a work right there. In the Old Testament, there was a priestly blessing. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And that wasn't in vain. When the priest said that, then God acted. And I found this very interesting as well. In Psalm 129, God talks about, or the psalmist talks about, those who are enemies to Jerusalem, enemies to Zion. And he tells the people to not speak to those enemies, the Lord bless you, the blessings of the Lord be upon you. And I used to think, like, well, big deal, you know, they hate Jerusalem, they hate Zion anyway, why would they want someone to say that? Well, in actuality, there's power that when you speak on the behalf of God, that God is listening, and he's active, and he's wanting to convey blessings through his people. And aren't people in desperate need today of the words of the wise? Don't they need a little bit of a change of the usual? There's just so much propaganda and negativity, and of course, we're all probably dreading going into an election year and all the mudslinging and all the partisanship and the nastiness which is ahead. And people, they're in desperate need of the blessing of the words of the wise. And if you're a Christian, you already have a heavenly wisdom. You've already got an advantage over the average person that is not a Christian. You are wise in that respect. And you and I are to be a conduit of life through our speech. Now, connecting with Joseph in Genesis chapter 47, verses 7 through 10, it says here, then Joseph brought in Jacob his father and stood him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, how many are the days of the years of your life? And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. They have not attained to the days and the years of the life of my fathers, in the days of their sojourning. And look at this, it's repeated in verse 10. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, in times past when I read this, I just kind of thought, okay, Jacob in some way blessed him, God bless you, and then it repeats it. But now I've changed my way of thinking, see it a little bit differently, that it's the words in verse 9 that actually are the blessing. That is to say, the revelation, the wisdom, the perspective on life that the old man here, the sage, if you will, Jacob at 130 years of age, that Pharaoh was being blessed by Jacob because Jacob was speaking on the behalf of God. He was bringing truth. He was bringing light and an assessment on life that, that Pharaoh perhaps hadn't considered. Now, some questions that I thought in terms of this is who is Pharaoh? And it's interesting, whenever Pharaoh is mentioned in the Bible, you don't get, well, more often than not, you don't get a name. And we don't know the name, the literal name of the Pharaoh at this episode in the book of Genesis. But another way of thinking about it is what does Pharaoh represent? And Pharaoh, to me, he represents somebody who has a skewed view of life. Now, if you know anything about ancient Egyptian religion and the belief system, everything was about the Pharaoh being kind of a conduit between the eternal realm, the spiritual realm, and the earthly realm. He was seen as kind of an incarnation. He was deified. He was seen as a god. And so everything was about catering to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh kept order in a chaotic world. And I know it sounds strange, but it's interesting the parallels that Pharaoh and what he represents is so close to the average person in the world. Because the average person in the world thinks that, you know, they're everything. Narcissism, that they're like godlike and everybody should cater to them and it's about their creature comforts, particularly in the West and in prosperous countries. Everything's about comfort and everything's about catering to me. And life is a means of me being blessed and me being having pleasures and all of that. And the blessing that Pharaoh receives is so cool because it's almost like it shatters his view of life. Look what Jacob says. Look a little bit closer here. Pharaoh's like, oh, it's an old guy and I guess it's not a woman, so I can actually ask, how old are you? Nobody gets, okay. So, how old are you? I'm 130 years old. And look what Jacob says here. The years of my sojourning. This is just a little trip. This life is not an end in and of itself. This life is a means to an end. Now, of course, we know from our biblical perspective that life is short. And even if you don't have a biblical perspective, if you've got some years or decades, you know life's going by fast. And James said it as clearly as possible that this life is like a vapor. It's like a mist that appears for a moment, then it departs. Such is life. And so Jacob takes the perhaps more permanent view of this life is everything and maintaining my comforts, maintaining my pleasures. And he says, oh, it's a trip. And I've been on this journey for 130 years. And then he really gives a radical alteration. For Pharaoh and the average person, this life is everything. And to have all the pleasures that are possible, that is the chief objective. And so life is good and try to make it good. And then, of course, there's secular humanism that says humanity is the epitome of this of everything, and we're moving towards a utopia where things are going to be so good. And Jacob just kind of pulls the rug out from under all that. He says, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. 130 years, by the way. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their journeys or sojournings. Now, he very directly is speaking of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Isaac both died well beyond 130. I don't remember the exact ages. And so, to paraphrase, you know, it's been a hard road, and I accept that. I don't see him just as being like a cynic or a pessimist and everything's bad, but it's been rough, and he's just being real. Life is hard. I mean, there are pleasant things in life to experience, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, we're all heading towards decay. Everything around us is changing. There's nothing here that's permanent, and so in that sense, it's fragile, it's passing away, few and evil. It's been a tough road, and it's not over yet. My father's lived longer. Looks like I'm going to live longer, and it's going to continue to be a tough road, and then you die. And Pharaoh is actually hearing, it sounds strange, but he's hearing a good message. He's being blessed because his assumptions and his views of life are totally being challenged. He's now able to see things from a whole nother perspective. And you know, God cares for Pharaoh. When we hear Pharaoh often in the Bible, we equate it with just, oh, someone evil, and he's a type of Satan. And there's some value in, I guess, that typology. But God cares for every person on planet Earth. God created every person for a reason. And God cares for Pharaoh. God cares for the people of the world. Jesus, of course, died for the sins of the whole world. And his heart yearns. And so in this case, God wants Pharaoh to be blessed. And there's your blessing. And so Jacob blesses Pharaoh, verse 7. How did he bless him? Because he told him that life is a journey and it's a means to an end. He told him, hey, life is hard and it's not about trying. You know, think about all the work. If you know anything about Egypt and ancient Egypt history, I mean, people would live their whole lives just to build the tomb of the Pharaoh and keep him comfortable, keep him shaded, keep him catered to. And even leaving this world, we want him to have a smooth trip across the river of Styx or whatever the mythology was. We want him to have a smooth journey into the next phase, and everything's about him and everything's about the right now and keeping things in harmony. And God totally blessed Pharaoh by showing him that, you know, this life is meant to be hard. It's meant to be difficult, but there's something greater. There's something that's transcendent. And so Jacob gave him the blessing of speaking the truth as much as it challenged his worldview. You see, the blessing is the word. Genesis 1, 21 through 22, and this is spoken several times. We see this formula or this pattern throughout the book of Genesis. As a matter of fact, Tony referred to it in his introduction when he said that the man that Jacob wrestled with blessed him. How did he bless him? He gave him a new name. Your name is no longer Jacob, supplanter, sneaky one, but your name is God contender. You've prevailed. You've been faithful, and now you get rewarded. So in Genesis 1, 21 through 22, we have the first instance of the blessing being connected with the mouth or words spoken. So God created the great sea creatures and every living thing, every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them. We have this repeated several times through Genesis. God blessed them, saying, here's the blessing, be fruitful and multiply, fill the waters in the seas, let the birds multiply on the earth. God's words were a blessing, words of life, words of creativity, words of potential. I'm speaking to you. How does this apply to us? Because God also wants us to be a blessing. And how can we bless people? We speak into their lives. We speak words of life, that you can make it, that our God is great, that you're more than a conqueror, that you're not created in vain, that you have creative potential. You have a life about you which can have a multiplier effect. And it's not just for a select few super spiritual ones, but it's for all. You see, all, in this case in Genesis 1, all of you birds and all of you sea creatures, and you all are to be multiplying, be fruitful and multiplying. And that's what we should be speaking to one another in the church, that you have so much creative potential. And God wants to continue to work in your life. He wants to show you things. He wants you to be a blessing in your generation. Genesis 24:60, And they blessed Rebecca. Well, how did they bless her? Did they just say, God bless you, as a religious cliche? No. They blessed her by saying, our sister, may you become thousands of ten thousands, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him. They spoke into her life dominion, that there's power on your side, that you should not be ashamed, that if one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000 to flight, that you shouldn't be nervous and your children shouldn't be nervous and anxious and just cowering and how can I just hedge and store up to be safe. But actually, your enemies should be shaken. You are the one that has the power. And of course, this has an application to us because we're grafted into the family of Abraham. We're part of this lineage. And so they blessed her. And we ought to be blessing one another, that you are a mighty man of God. You're a mighty woman of God. That when you pray, your words have power and authority. And that angels are ready. They're at the beck and call to answer and to act. And demons are shuddering. That it's not just for, again, a spiritual elite. We ought to be speaking these words to each other, speaking them to our children, speaking them to those that may be nervous, may be anxious, may be cowering under the pressures of life. Genesis 49:28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with the blessing suitable to him. God called Jacob to speak a final blessing. And the blessing was in what he said. And it's a whole chapter of Genesis 49. Each one of those boys, those 12 sons, were going to receive a direct word. And so Jacob had the discernment. Jacob had the ability. He wasn't just thinking on his own terms, but he was thinking from God and revelation on how to be a blessing to each of these sons. And brothers and sisters, God wants us to be discerning. He wants us not to just be so concerned about our own interests that we don't have time to bless others, to speak words of life, but he wants us to be discerning each other in the body, not busybodies, and of course we can't cover everybody, but if God has given us a sphere of influence, he's given us brothers and sisters, to be able to know them to some extent, to be praying about them, and for God to give you and I insight on how to speak a blessing suitably to them. Have you ever had this experience where perhaps you texted somebody or you called somebody and you just felt that this scripture or they just needed to hear this and then they just couldn't believe it? It's like, wow, I really needed that. That is being a blessing. That's God. I mean, God could do that stuff directly, and he often does. However, he's also given us as his children every spiritual blessing to be a conduit of blessing to each other. And so Jacob was able to discern, and what it speaks to me is I need to take time to get to know people, to be able to speak words of life into their hearts. I want to seek to be medicine to an ailing soul. Lord, use me as a blessing. I want to immerse myself. Now, this is important as well. That if I can immerse myself in scriptures, then I also have the language of God, the repository of revelation, if you will, the ready-made words of life. I immerse myself in the scriptures, then I think about somebody else, I pray for them, and God says, Romans 8, send this to that person. Speak these words of life. And to be ready, brothers and sisters, be a blessing. Seek to speak words of life. Now I'm going to finish off with some thoughts on this. Speaking words of life, first of all, in the home. This is the first church. The family, the home, is always the first church. This larger gathering is a collective of smaller churches. And in our homes, we ought to be blessing one another by speaking words of life. Proverbs 8, Proverbs 1:8-9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. The first pastors are always the mother and the father. They are to be training up and speaking blessings over their children. It's a sad situation that in many Christian homes, how seldom the words, the blessing goes forth. And the children are not given that medicine, that antidote, because they're getting messages, I'll tell you that right now. And they're not getting from their pastor father and or pastor mother, it could be a single parent situation, they're not getting the blessing as they should. Sadder still, how many parents will sacrifice through the years to save up for their children's education, and they invest, and they've got a college fund, and they do all that work, all that time, and all that effort for an academic objective, which I'm not necessarily saying is bad, okay? But then to have neglected all along to bless them with the words of life, to be reading to them at age-appropriate levels, the illustrated Bible, or to be praying, God, how can I speak a specific word of blessing over this soul? We see it through the Old Testament, and Jesus himself blessed his disciples in John 17 on the way out. We see that the importance of speaking, and Esau, who did not get the blessing, he, with many tears, the sorrow that overcame him. And then to have saved up, and then worse yet, perhaps you've heard of accounts where the kids go to school and then they get totally secularized or get into the party scene and end up all that money gets totally blown. All along, they should have been getting deposits of living words and light along the way. Proverbs 3:1-2, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Now, this is parents to children, but of course, husband to wife, that's where there should be a lot of blessings. Jennifer gets up early to go to work. She works in Columbia. And 90% of the time, I will try to get up with her. And I'm an early riser anyway. But I want to be able to speak a word of blessing over her. And so I pray protection. I pray wisdom and blessing. And it's not just a tradition. It's not just a ritual. But I'm speaking on the behalf of a God who hears right now. And he is active. And when I say God bless you, God will bless you. He will tend to you. He will take care of you. He will impart. And husbands and wives, how often is a situation there is one that speaks like the piercing of a sword? I'm aggravated with you, and so I'm going to pierce you with the sword of my tongue. Oh, yeah? Well, what about you? I'm going to pierce you back with the sword of my tongue. Instead of stopping the cycle of death and relational violence and allowing the healing ointment, the blessing that each of you are called to be. And brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, you are going to give the first account, in my humble estimation, we are going to give the first account in that very important relationship, that one that God allowed to come into our lives, till death do we part. And how do you speak? How do you communicate to your husband? How do you communicate to your wife? You could be doing everything else just fine, but when you get to the Lord, you might be surprised. You might, in fact, be terrorized to find out your salvation's intact, but first thing I want to deal with is how you spoke to your husband, how you spoke to your wife. Oh, what about all these other things? No, the first thing I want to deal with, the most important thing, is that relationship right there. Speak blessings over each other. And if you've been a chronic, harsh communicator, if you've been more sword thrust and spear piercing into your wife's heart, to your husband's heart, make it right. Make it right. Be a blessing. And then in the church, of course, speaking words of life, this ought to be a community which has constant communication of life going on. The church ought to represent a strange and radical difference from the other spheres that we find in this world, the political sphere, the spheres of employment, the education spheres, because a lot of them are not Christian per se, whereas the church is by definition Christian. It's the kingdom of light. Now, there are Christians in those other spheres, but in the church, we ought to be so strange because we bless each other. Could you imagine this? That the first presidential debate, that they spoke a blessing, the opponent spoke a blessing over each other? I mean, how many people would be admitted to the ER? I mean, the ERs might be full that night. Total shock. Like, what? You know, we have some differences of opinion, but I bless you. And, you know, same here. I bless you in the name of the Lord. And whatever God's, we're like, what in the world? It'd be crazy. Well, in the church, we don't backbite. We don't gossip. At least we shouldn't be. Now, we're not perfect, but that should be the exception, not the rule. The church ought not to be a place of strife and corrupting communication, but we're blessing each other. And I'm not seeking just to be blessed. I'm seeking how I can be a blessing by and large. Now, there's actions. So you can make meals and you can rake someone's leaves or whatever. But by and large, it's how I speak to you, encouraging you. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is edifying, that it might build up others in the faith. So in the church, Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is in the head, into Christ. Truth and love, this is a dynamic combination that should be evident in the church. Truth brings freedom. Truth brings true life. And whether it's harsh reproof or affirming edification, truth is a dynamic force, and coupled with love. Love is like the lubricant of the engine that is the church. If you don't have love, it's dry, it will burn up. So where you've got truth coupled with love, you've got Jesus in the midst. The Holy Spirit's not being grieved. The Holy Spirit is active and working in that group of people. Titus 2:3 through 5, here's a specific application. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So, for example, how could one bless in the body of Christ? Well, older ladies, you've got more experience. Perhaps you have some time now, the less time constraints. Seek out to be a blessing to a younger woman and teach her. Teach her how to love, because it doesn't always come easy. Life can get difficult. Relationships can get strained. And so bless by encouraging them to love those husbands, love those children, and on it goes here. And there's multiple applications. And God wants to use each of us in this room to be a blessing. How about this? Speaking words of life when it's tough. Always got to be a challenge. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. So who is that harshest person in your life that if you can avoid, you do at all costs? When they speak harshness towards you, could you not turn it around and say, the Lord bless you? Now, of course, it can only be as far as they're able to receive it, but to be different, that I'm going to give a soft answer and turn away wrath, and I'm going to say, the Lord help you, the Lord bless you, and I'm not going to enter into the pit with you. I'm not going to render evil for evil or reviling for reviling, or I'm going to give you a zinger and checkmate you here. No, I'm going to be a blessing. Now, often in the world, there is animosity, and this is a perfect application of being a blessing in a harsh world. Sometimes there's, unfortunately, strains in between brothers and sisters in the Lord. Well, you're not going to render evil. We should not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but I'm going to bless you as far as you're able to obtain it. Finally, for my own good, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. I'm dry. I'm weak. My needs aren't being taken care of. Well, give, and it shall be given unto you. Choose to be a blessing. Choose to be one that waters, even when you don't feel like it, and watch your refreshing come. Isn't that how it often goes with God? You say, you know, I just don't feel it, but I'm gonna serve God in some way. I'm going to choose to give. And God always brings back more to the giver, to the one who chooses to be a blessing. And so let's stand and ask the Lord's help today. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, a great blessing awaits you. If you'll believe on Jesus Christ and His work, His perfection, and say, God, save me, believe on Jesus Christ, His death on the cross and resurrection, you'll be saved and forgiven. You'll be brought into the family of God. Brothers and sisters, if you want to take some time up here and get a prayer of blessing, I want to be a blessing. Help me to speak in such a way as I bless others, and forgive me to where I've been one whose rash words are like sword thrust. If you want a prayer today, come on down. I'll pray and we'll close out with this prayer of blessing. It'd be so awesome if even this afternoon that you find an example, there's an application. It may be at the store, maybe in your living room. You might encounter some hostility today, and you can render a prayer of you can render blessing. The Lord bless you. I'm not going to fight you. The Lord bless you. Father, as we go our separate ways today, I pray that each of us, Lord, would be a blessing in our spheres. Help us to be a blessing in the home, at the workplace, in the school, on the job. Help us to be a blessing to our children, to our parents. Help us to be a blessing to brothers and sisters. Help us to be a blessing to our neighbors. And to be ready to give an answer. To be ready to speak words of life in a world that's so toxic. Thank you, Lord God. The Lord bless and keep each of you precious ones. May the Lord's face ever be upon you. May the Lord continue to be active in each of your lives. May you be the head, not the tail. May you go out encouraged and bold, conquerors, knowing that if God is for you, who could be against you? Bless each of these in the name of Jesus. Amen.